Support for WPR comes from Rutabaga Paddle Sports, offering canoes, kayaks, and advice for anyone wanting to experience solitude on Wisconsin waterways. 2620 Rimrock Road in Madison or rutabagashop.com.
So when was the last time you read a book? As Jimmy Durante used to say,
I'll never forget the day I read a book. It was contagious, 70 pages. There were pictures here and there, so it wasn't hard to bear. The day I read a book. It's a shame I don't recall the name of the book. It wasn't a history, I know, because it had no plot. It wasn't a mystery, because nobody there got shot. The day I read a book, I can't remember when, but one of these days I'm gonna do it again.
How do people who write books for a living feel about the news that people may be reading less? Well, not all of them are convinced it's true. Ursula Le Guin is a writer so celebrated the Library of Congress lists her as a living legend. Her science fiction classic, The Left Hand of Darkness, and her young adult Wizard of Earthsea novels have never been out of print since they were published decades ago. In her lifetime, Le Guin has published 20 novels, 13 children's books, 6 volumes of poetry, and too many essays and short stories to count. In a recent essay in Harper's Magazine called Notes on the Alleged Decline of Reading, Le Guin takes issue with the idea that books are on their way out. She told Steve Paulson that books are here to stay, even if reading them has never had mass appeal.
It's probably always been in bad shape. And these sort of cries of doom, you know, I was thinking, golly, 40, 50 years ago, were there really that many more readers and so on? Of course, television and the computer and all the little palm things, you know, that people go around attached to at this point. These take away from reading time, and they offer an entertainment other than reading. But still, how many readers, real readers, have there ever been?
You don't think there were more readers back, I don't know, 100 years ago, 150 years ago?
I tell you what, I don't know if there were more readers when they were grown up. But in school, kids read a lot. That's one of the things I wrote about in that article. You look at a reader from 1910, you know, a fifth grade reader or something, and you go, wow. These kids were really learning how to read.
Hmm. Those books were a lot more demanding than a 10th grader gets today.
And they had a lot of poetry in them. People learned to read whole novels, you know, instead of little bits and so on. We've lowered our standards of reading tremendously just in the last maybe 20, 30 years.
Why? Why do you think we've lowered our standards of reading?
Because we've lowered our standards of education. And we've lowered our respect for public education terribly in my lifetime. And it has been a scary thing to watch.
Let me turn this around and ask a question from the perspective of book publishing. You are also quite critical in this essay that you wrote about what has happened to publishers. You're kind of despairing, in fact.
Yeah, well, you know, most at least fiction writers are going through a sort of valley of despair here. Most editors. I feel so sorry for editors. Authors used to like to get together and rage at their editors, you know, but boy, we're on the same side of the fence now with the editors. And the editors and the authors are all being pushed around by the sales departments and the accounting departments and the corporate owner and the great big chain bookstore. These large capitalist entities that run publishing much more closely than they used to do. And I don't think it's been really, really very good for publishing.
When you say editors and authors are getting pushed around, are you mainly talking about which books are accepted?
Yeah. This sort of general idea that an author's next book has got to sell better than the last one, that a book is not worth printing unless it's going to sell a lot of copies. So therefore, what's called the mid-list, the book that sells, you know, 20,000 copies, that's not worth publishing anymore. Everything sort of has to be instant bestseller. And the whole concept of a book being a bestseller very slowly over decades is kind of forgotten because it's the profit has to be instant. It has to be this quarter.
And there's not enough shelf space in the bookstore to let a book linger for months.
There always was until this kind of glut of things that are supposed to sell instantly. It's a very complicated thing, you know, but there are some very worrying trends in it. And one of them is this idea that a book is kind of like a magazine, that publishers aren't supposed to keep it in print. And gee, you know, a writer like me takes that very personally because the thing about my books is they do stay in print. There's quite a few of them have been in print for 40 years, never been out. I don't best sell, but I keep selling. Mm-hmm. Well, a publisher who can't handle that idea is they should be doing something else, I think.
Well, the point that you're making is really subversive. I mean, you're saying that book publishers should not be driven by the need for ever-expanding profits, that there's nothing wrong with actually selling the same number of copies year after year. I mean, you're questioning the very capitalist system that we live under.
You are surprised? this is not the first time I've questioned capitalism.
Or you're saying that at least it should not apply to the world of books.
That's right, which is really all that I know about, you know. I don't know anything but books and housekeeping, sort of. So that's all I can talk about. But yes, I do truly think publishers really didn't used to expect to make a lot of money. You know, they always hoped to. But it was not the expectation. The expectation was to have some good, solid books that kept selling and maybe a bestseller now and then. And with the profits of that, you plowed them back in on publishing some young writer who your editor just came and said, she's never going to sell, but she's tremendous, you know. That is getting so hard now. It's very hard to be a young writer now. It's hard to break in.
What do you make of the people who are predicting that the printed book will disappear because everything will go digital?
I'm too old to ask that question of. I think that the book or the printed page is such a handy, beautiful little piece of technology. I don't see why it should vanish in favor of something flickering on a screen. I don't see why one technology should drive out the other. They don't do quite the same thing, you know? Mm-hmm. And the fact is we really seem not to know how well any of our new technologies, the discs and so on, how well they're going to last. We know how long a book can last. If it doesn't get wet and it doesn't get burned, a well-made book is going to last centuries. And that's important. But then, you know, there are these also cross-technologies which seem to get forgotten, like print-on-demand, which involves both the computer and the book, right?
Right.
Print-on-demand may be kind of the way we do our books. It would make sense to me. Those who want to read on the screen can read on the screen. Those who want to read off a page can have a page. And the library can have a book, a physical book to put away on a shelf and keep. And I do think that's important.
Ursula Le Guin's essay on reading appeared in Harper's Magazine in 2008. Le Guin is the author of more than 20 award-winning science fiction and fantasy novels, including, most recently, Lavinia. Steve Paulson spoke with her.